Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of our series, The Message of the Quran. This series is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the Share Your Plate hashtag campaign. To learn more, visit hhrd.org/Qalam. In our class today, inshallah, we will be going through the 12th juz of the Quran. This juz consists of 170 verses and is split between two surahs. The first part of the juz covers Surah Hud, which was revealed prior to migration. It's Makiyatun Nuzul. And then at the end of the juz, we find Surah Yusuf there, which is also Makiyatun Nuzul, revealed prior to migration. Surah Hud is very fascinating because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers some hard realities for us, which we'll cover shortly, but then leads into the stories of the prophets, because that's where we see what happens with people who reject those realities or even accept those realities and what their outcomes are. So it's a very beautiful surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the opening of the 12th juz, he says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. This is verse number 6 of Surah Hud. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is not an animal or a beast that is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this earth. There is not a single beast or animal in this earth, illa ala Allahi rizquha, but upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is its rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility of providing for everyone, each and every creation. We were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also takes the responsibility of ensuring that our needs are met. Now, this doesn't mean that we abandon our jobs or our education. We continue to do our best to the best of our knowledge and ability, while keeping in mind that at the end of the day, once we've done all we can do, the end product will only be delivered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can work as hard as I want, but the fact that that rizq reaches me is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reaches me because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for it to reach me. How often does it happen that a person works and is hoping to get to be compensated a particular amount, but in return they don't, because that extra rizq wasn't written for them? And that's the beauty of the iman of a believer, that they continue to remember that no matter what the circumstances are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-raziq, and He is ar-razaq. He is the one who sustains and provides. So if I make less today in my trade, I accept that this is how much I made, because this was what was destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though sometimes that amount may be little, but the truth is there could be barakah in it. Sometimes a person may get a lot, but the lot they get, the large sum they do acquire, has no barakah in it. So be content. Be happy with the rizq and the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and your family. Unfortunately, for most people, that is what breaks them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person is looking for peace and safety in life. Every person is looking for prosperity. And no matter what our situation is, whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an abundance or a little, that shouldn't change our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a transaction where we're doing something and we demand something back in return. We're just doing because He's worthy to be worshipped. And we are so insignificant that we continue to worship Allah because it's the right thing to do. Because we are honored by doing sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuing on with the surah, in verse number 13, He lays out a very beautiful challenge to the skeptics. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ. They say that the Prophet of Allah fabricated and made up the Qur'an. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ وَدُعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then why don't you bring two surahs that are fabricated, that are made up, equivalent to the Qur'an? And call مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, whoever you have the power to call other than Allah, if you are truthful. Meaning, get your whole team together and match the Qur'an if you can. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكْ. But if they are not able to comply to your call, to your request, فَعْلَمْ فَعْلَمُوا. And they should know, أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ, that it was revealed by the knowledge of Allah, وَأَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And there is no God but Him. This is verse number 14 of Surah Hud. So in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out for us the challenge of the Qur'an. The challenge of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that replicate something similar to the Qur'an. You bring something. You think the Qur'an is fabricated, for the skeptics out there, then bring something similar to the Qur'an. And the Qur'an isn't just deep in its meaning. Not only is it powerful in its flow, the way the words and sentences flow very well, but every word in it serves a profound purpose in delivering the true meaning of the Qur'an. And this is why you have the Fasir commentators focusing just on the language of the Qur'an. And they say within the language, within the meaning, within the prophecy, within the stories of the past, within the flow of the Qur'an, the beautiful morality, the legal system, the foundations for a legal system offered in the Qur'an, all of this put together serves to the i'jaz of the Qur'an, how it incapacitates anyone that dares to challenge its greatness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, from verse number 25 onwards, begins to share the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam's story is quite fascinating. To create some perspective, many historians are of the opinion that Nuh alayhi salam lived roughly 2,000 years prior to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. This isn't anything in an absolute authentic chain, but nonetheless, it has been narrated by the Mufassirun, the commentators, and historians. Nuh alayhi salam was sent to the children of Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam had two sons, Habil and Qabil. Qabil was the one who rebelled against his brother Habil and murdered him. Thereafter, Qabil was banished from the neighborhood where the other children of Adam alayhi salam lived. Many of them were very righteous, but Qabil, because of his sin, he left. Because of his crime against the family, because of this murder. And in his small little sub-community that they created, there were people who unfortunately didn't care much for doing good. And also carried some arrogance. It was these people that later on went to worship idols, and they were probably the first people in the history of Islam or humanity even to start worshiping idols. Nuh alayhi salam was sent to these people. Their argument against Nuh alayhi salam was that مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاضِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأِيَ وَمَا نَرَاكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. Verse number 20. That we do not view you but a human being like us. And we do not see that your followers are but the lowest of the class, people who are disgraced and have no real weight in their opinions. وَمَا نَرَاكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ. We don't think that you have any virtue of us over us. بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. Rather, we view you to be liars. So Nuh alayhi salam begins to engage them. And we see in verse number 29, he says, Ya qawmi la as'alukum alayhi ma'la. O my people, I don't ask you for any wealth. I'm not asking you to pay me. I'm not asking you that you need to compensate me for what I'm putting into this call of mine. In ajdiya illa ala Allah, my reward is not but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And neither will I push away these people who you look down upon because they believe in Allah. And I won't push away a believer. إِنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. They will meet their Lord. وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ. Rather, I see you to be an ignorant people. And then he said, وَيَا قَوْمِ مَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ طَرَدْتُهُمْ. Oh my people, if I were to push these people away, if I were to push these poor people away, and the people who you look down upon with, you know, with disgrace, and who you look down upon, you know, with no respect at all. If I were to push these people away, who would help me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would hold me accountable. Here, Nuh alayhi salam is making a very profound point, and that point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for those who are sincere. He doesn't care whether you think you're special in your eyes or whether you think someone else is disgraced. Islam is not a religion just for the elite. Islam is for everyone, for all of humanity, all of mankind. When we see the stories of the prophets and briefly take a look at the lives of the companions, we see that many of those who joined the cause in the earlier phase were simple, humble people. These people, they had reason to look for truth. When a person has too much wealth, most of their time is dedicated to pampering their needs and to living out the luxuries. Right? But these people were the people who went to search. And it's interesting because today when we look at Islam and the way it's being practiced in the world, it seems like slowly, slowly, it's becoming more and more elitist. That's what it seems as. Where the mega masjid that are being built in the suburban communities while the inner city communities, where the Muslim communities probably started decades ago, the masjid there are unfortunately underdeveloped. People don't give attention there. And it's as if our communities are following a path of where the corporations of today's world are. Following where the money is. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is dangerous. We must remember that any person who is interested in Islam, we go to them, we listen to them, we sit with them, we talk with them, and we don't turn our backs on anyone. Specifically not because of race or socio-economical status. Nuh alayhi salam, when he made it very clear that his message was what needed to be focused on, and that all these extra distractions should be sidelined, focus on the message. They said to Nuh alayhi salam in verse number 32, Ya Nuh, قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا You've argued with us and you've argued abundantly with us. فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا Then bring to us this punishment that you promise. إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ If you are truthful. So Nuh alayhi salam, he says that you want this punishment of Allah. إِنَّمَا يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهُ إِنْ شَاءُ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ مِمُعْجِزِينَ That if Allah wants, that punishment will come. And you won't be able to do anything about it. You won't be able to stop Allah. You can't do anything. Don't go around challenging Allah, asking for a punishment, because when it comes, there will be no benefit to you. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nuh alayhi salam in verse 36, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ O Nuh, except for those who have already believed, now no one else from your people will accept Islam. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ So don't be despondent or dissatisfied by what they do. In the meantime, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكِ Build an ark. Now Nuh alayhi salam is building an ark inland. People are laughing at him. Every time people walk past him, as the Quran tells us in verse 38, كُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْ Every time a group of people would pass by Nuh alayhi salam and they saw him building this ark inland, they thought, what a fool. سَخِرُوا مِنْ They made a joke out of him. Nuh alayhi salam's response to them was, إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ If you mock us, then you will be mocked. Then tomorrow we will joke with you. كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ As you used to mock. فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ Soon you will find out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا وَفَارَتَ النُّورِ In verse number 40, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. And then everything began to pick up. The earth began to spit out water and the skies began to pour it down. And the adab of Allah, the punishment of Allah had come in the shape of a tremendous storm. A very big storm. Nuh alayhi salam was told to board this ark and with him his believers and his family members and a pair from every animal that he had. So Nuh alayhi salam, he started boarding the ship with different animals, according to some riwayat, in pairs. The ayah says, min kullin zawjain ithnain, from every pair gather two. So Nuh alayhi salam began to gather from every pair two. Now, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ Unfortunately, a few people accepted. Now, as the ship was sailing and people were being destroyed, Nuh alayhi salam bumps into his son. وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ Nuh alayhi salam called out to his son. وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ While the son was separated. يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا O my son, board. Get on the ship. Come along with me. وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ Don't be with the disbelievers. This is powerful because Nuh alayhi salam, being a prophet of Allah, has a son who didn't accept Islam. And this tells us that guidance is not in our hands. Sometimes you may do your best, but someone may choose a path other than that for themselves. And it's their choice. It's their choice. It's their doing. There's nothing that could be done about that. I know many parents beat themselves up over it that, oh, my child this made this decision, or my spouse made this decision, or my parent made this decision. There's no point beating yourself up because ultimately every person chooses in their life what they wish. And that's why you are accountable for your deeds. They're accountable for their deeds. So Nuh alayhi salam's son, he didn't realize that what was going on was a punishment of Allah. He just thought it was bad weather. He said, I'll go sit in the mountains in elevation. The water won't reach me. And right when he was heading there, حَالَ بَيْنَهُمُ الْمَوْجِ A big wave came and slammed him. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ He drowned. When things settled down, Nuh alayhi salam, he called out to his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we see in verse 45. وَنَادَى نُوحُ رَبَّهُ Nuh alayhi salam called out to his Lord and he said, إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي My child is from my family. وَإِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقِّ Your promise is true. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ And you are the most just. Now notice Nuh alayhi salam is almost complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but look at his adab. Look at his respect. He doesn't say, Ya Allah, you were wrong. Ya Allah, I was done wrong. None of that. He says, he states three facts. إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي My child is from my family. إِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقِّ Your promise is true. وأنت أحكم الحاكمين, and you are the most just. This is how a person should speak to Allah. And he ends by praising Allah. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. That I'm not understanding something because you are the most just. Something's wrong and I'm not understanding it. Ya Allah, explain to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies by saying, Ya Nuh, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Oh Nuh, he is not from your family. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. Because his deeds are not righteous. The true bond between two people is whether they are connected to Allah or not. But if you have a blood relationship with someone, yet that person does not believe in Allah, you are bound to them in relationship in the world and must fulfill rights. But when you leave this world, that relationship ceases to exist. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. He is not for your family. Nuh alayhi salam then seeks protection from, seeks Allah's forgiveness for asking a question of this nature. إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٌ. Oh Allah, I seek protection in you of asking you that which I have no knowledge of. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي, unless you forgive me, وَتَرْحَمْنِي, and shower your mercy upon me, أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِدِينَ, I will be from those who lose out. Now I shared the story of Nuh alayhi salam in a little bit detail because for the most part the theme is the same. Whether we go next to the story of the people of Hud and, the people of Hud, right? Or we go to the people of Salih alayhi salam, or we go to the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, or even beyond that, we go to the people of Musa alayhi salam. These are all stories that come one after the other. Lut alayhi salam as well. All of these prophets, they came to their people with the same message, and the people in return almost had the same message every time. You're one of us. You're not a big deal. You know, we don't care. We're going to do what we're going to do. You do what you're going to do. Don't get in our way. We don't believe in you. Some of them would get aggressive. They would say bad things, foul things. Some of them would challenge, tell Allah to bring his punishment if he wants to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us every one of them how they were held accountable in the world, and the greatest accountability they will face will be in the hereafter. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا شُعَيْبٍ. For example, when our command came, meaning when the punishment of Allah came, Allah saved Shu'aib alayhi salam and those who believed in him through his mercy. However, those that were oppressed, they were caught by the punishment of Allah. In the example of Shu'aib alayhi salam, we look at verse number 94. وَأَخَذَتِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةِ. That loud scream and shout, this very loud, high-pitched sound, it blew them out, and they died. فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. And like this, these stories are here. Now, we quickly jump into the last part of this juz. And that is the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. The whole surah is called Surah Yusuf. The amazing thing about this story is that rather than it being scattered in different surahs, in different chapters of the Quran, we find the entire Surah Yusuf gathered together in one place. And from beginning of the surah right till the end, it tells us more or less the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah, whose father was also a prophet of Allah, Yaqub alayhi salam. Whose father Ishaq was also a prophet of Allah, and his father Ibrahim was also a prophet of Allah. Al-Karim ibn al-Karim ibn al-Karim ibn al-Karim ibn al-Karim. Al-Karim ibn al-Karim ibn al-Karim ibn al-Karim. Four Karims. Karim refers to the prophet of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this as one of the best stories. Because it's such an epic story. This young child sees a dream, and then in order for that dream to come through, he goes through this crazy, eventful life full of challenges. But he never lost hope in Allah. On one side, his brothers, when they hear of this amazing dream that he saw, and they also saw how their father Yaqub had extra love for Yusuf, jealousy got the worst of them, and they threw Yusuf alayhi salam into a well while lying to their father that he was eaten by a wolf. And then Yusuf alayhi salam was pulled out of the well and taken to Egypt and sold in slavery there. And then from there, he enters into the house of the vizier, one of the great Aziz in Misr, one of the great leaders of Egypt, one of the people who was appointed in a position of leadership. And I keep it vague because there's a difference of opinion on what his actual role was. There's a difference of opinion. But anyway, some say he was a finance administrator. Some say he was responsible of other posts. Khair. Yusuf alayhi salam lives in this house, and then he is accused of a scandal. The wife of this man who owned Yusuf alayhi salam tried to inappropriately engage with Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam is this young man who has the beauty that no other person in that time could ever claim. And she fell for him. She tried to lure him, but Yusuf alayhi salam, he held back. As a human being, you know, every person may have temptations, but your job is to try your best to hold back. Ultimately, when the accusations increased and things got very messy, Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, you know what? رَبِّ سِجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. I prefer to go to prison than this mess. All these accusations, how, you know, and it became very clear that even the ruler of the time was looking for a fall man. Therefore, he sent Yusuf alayhi salam to prison. Yusuf alayhi salam spends some very important years of his life in prison. And while he's in prison, he meets two prison mates. They both see dreams. He interprets their dreams. One of them, after exiting the prison, he works for the king of the time. And the king of the time has a dream. So this person says to the king of the time that I know someone who can interpret dreams. And therefore, Yusuf alayhi salam exits the prison and interprets the dream of the king. And the dream suggested that there was a great famine on the way. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, appoint me as head of the department that manages the finances, and I will ration the resources we have carefully. I'm clearly keeping it very brief. There are so many details in the Quran itself, but I'm just trying to give you a gist of the story. Khulasa is that a group of people come from Yusuf alayhi salam's native land to collect some ration. And it was his brothers. When he finds out, he tells his younger brother, Binyamin, who was with them, that I'm Yusuf, stay behind with me. Yusuf alayhi salam creates a plot, as a result of which they have to leave Binyamin behind. Yusuf alayhi salam has his brother with him. The other brothers return back home, and when they go home, Yaqub alayhi salam, when he hears this, he's very sad. He sends his son back again. All of his sons that go and do something about this, go and get my son back. When they come back this time, Yusuf alayhi salam, the first time they go to meet Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam gives them their provisions and gives them more. It's the second time when they came that he told his brother Binyamin to stay behind. And now Yaqub alayhi salam, the father, sends his sons back a third time and says, go and get my son. You left Binyamin just like you lost your other son. So when they come back, Yusuf alayhi salam confronts them. And he says to them, هَلَ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. Verse number 89. Do you remember what you did to your brother Yusuf? مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ. What you did to Yusuf and his brother? إِذَنْ تُمْ جَاهِدُونَ, while you were still very naive, ignorant, young. And they knew that the only person who knew about what they had done, other than the group of people that were there, the brothers, was Yusuf. So they made the deduction. أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ Yusuf? Are you Yusuf? Yusuf alayhi salam then says, أَنَا يُوسُفُ هَذَا أَخِي. I am that Yusuf that you dumped into the well. This is my brother. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered his favor upon us. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرُ. Indeed, whoever is conscious of Allah and is patient, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُذِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah does not waste the reward of those who do good. At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, again, fast forwarding through some of this, that Yusuf alayhi salam is visited by his entire family. And in that moment, the dream that he saw at the beginning came true. That dream that he saw, the sun, the moon, and the stars were all bowing in front of him, that dream came true. And here we see in the story, Yusuf alayhi salam, right at the end, he makes his beautiful dua, verse number 101. Rabbi qad atitani min al-mulk, O Allah, you gave me kingdom. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْحَدِيثِ, you taught me to interpret dreams. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the creator of the heavens and the earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, you are my friend in this world and also in the hereafter. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا, now give me death as a Muslim. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, and resurrect me with the righteous on the day of judgment. So that's as far as we're going to go today. Very beautiful nonetheless. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts and grants us tawfiq to do amal upon what we learn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us pure inspiration from the example of these anbiya alayhim wassalam and keeps us on the straight path for as long as we live. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.